I have to be honest. This doesn't, it doesn't really look like the stoop I'm used to. Like, I don't, I don't see any blue flashing lights. I don't see any red cold cups being passed around, and I don't see any white t-shirts, but we'll make it work. So, Before 12 O'Clock Boys was this big documentary that captured the hearts of millions of people. It was something small and something private. It was a group of 7 or 8 drug dealers in East Baltimore who were teenagers, and they were really good. They can do amazing things on bikes. They can stand up on them. They can make them. They can stop traffic. They can go in between oncoming traffic and just do all these amazing things. And me, at 12 years old, you know, I used to watch these guys who were 17 and 18, and that's what I wanted to be. You know, in East Baltimore, you know, this is different from a lot of places in the world. Rap artists or public figures or basketball stars, they're not our heroes. Guys like these 12 O'Clock Boys and street guys and gangsters were the heroes. And one guy who I used to follow was a guy named Net, and he was the best at what he did. He had a move called the peace sign where he'd stand his bike straight up and he'd put his knee on the wheel and he'd let one leg hang off and he'd do a peace sign like, wah, 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 going up and down Ashland Avenue for, you know, 8 times in a row. And even the people who should reject it, like police officers and like grandmoms who were coming home from church, they would just stop and they would be like, oh my God, like this, how did he do that? He gave his life to Jesus. Like, how did he do that? So, you know, I wanted that. I wanted to be that. And every, you know, if I knew he was going to be a place, I'd make sure I was there. And this one particular time, he saw me riding my little bike. I had a PW 50 Fat Cat, and I used to ride that joint. And I used to go up and down Madison. And I wasn't 12 o'clock on the bike. I wasn't straight up and down. I was more maybe like 8:35. But I was doing wheelies. And I was doing what I had to do, and he saw me. You know, he sat back and he was looking and he was watching me, and he was like, this little young kid's pretty good. And he was 17 and I was 12, and but we were the same size. You know, he was like, you know, maybe slim in the body, about 100 pounds with a really big head. But he was a gangster. He was the best at what he did. And he noticed me, and he said, you know what? I know your brother, man. You know you be with Dev and him. You his little brother, whatever. You can ride with us. And I'm like, what? So now I made it. I'm what, you know, he's basically my hero is telling me that I can ride with him now. So now I'm thinking about how can I color coordinate my uniform with my bike? What should I wear? How should my attitude change? Because now I'm a public figure. I'm a transformative person. Like the same way I look up to him, people are going to start looking up to me. So how can I, you know, how am I going to take on this new role? You know, I've made it in life. I'm a respectable guy now. So he said, you know, I like what you do with your bike and everything. Yo, shorty, it's cute and all that, but I'm going to let you ride with us, but you need a new bike. That little PW, that's not going to make it. You know, you can't really get no work done with that. So I was like, you know, it's all fine and good because my brother was in a game and he gave me allowance and I had some money saved up. And I don't know what you guys know about street money, but if you have like $2,000 or $3,000 in street money, it looks like 20 grand. So, you know, I'm rolling in dough. Every dollar's all fluffy and crinkly and then they all have a story and, you know, I have the money. So, you know, I ride all the way back home and, I'm bobbing and weaving through all these dope fiends and drug dealers and the housing police and all these people. And, they don't even exist to me. And I'm not even telling the people who I love this journey I'm about to take because I'm just going to show them. Like, yo, I ride with them now. So basically, you know, I'm a kid, but you should address me as sir. So, so I get back to my room, and I'm flipping through the pages of the motocross book, and I'm like, yo, should I get a KX70? They're the only one that make a neon green bike. I can get a neon green polo shirt. I can get the same hat, and I can get some, you know, some Air Force Ones all white, and, you know, I got enough money to buy a new one, so I don't even have to put a sock over my shoe, and I'll be the only one with a KX70, and I'm on. Like, I'm back. So I was like, no. I don't even want to do that. I'm gonna keep it simple. I'm going to get a CR-80. So I call him up, and I'm talking to this nice lady, and she reminded me of that chick Betty White off of Golden Girls because she was so sweet, and she was so helpful in helping me pick out the perfect bike, red piping, and I was going to get the helmet, but I really wasn't going to wear the helmet. I was just going to carry it around, and I was going to, like, show girls, like, yeah, you know, this is the type of guy you should be dealing with. I got, you know, I got a helmet and all that, you know, and I'm legit. So we get to the end of the conversation, and she's like, what's your credit card number? They don't give credit card numbers to 12, but now they probably do, but when I was a kid, they didn't. they don't even give them to me now. So So I didn't have a credit card number, and, you know, I'm going all crazy, and, you know, I tell my older brother, and he was like, yo, you don't need a credit card. There's a store on Harford Road called Pete Cycles, and they will sell you a bike, and you can ride with them, and you can take your destiny into your own hands and basically change the world. And I'm like, yeah, this is exactly what I'm about to do. So we roll up the Harford Road, which is like, it was maybe like close to Harford Road, and I want to say like past Moravia, but in like the Hamilton area. So like, if you're coming out of East Baltimore, if you're from down the hill, up the hill, projects, whatever, going up to Hamilton was like Donald Trump's neighborhood. Like, you know, it was it was a different level. So I get up there, and I still wanted a custom bike because I felt like, you know, these guys are special, but, you know, I'm kind of a little more special. So I kind of need something that no one else had. This bike was a one-on-one. And I bought the helmet, and I had a red polo shirt, and I had some red and black Air Jordan, and I didn't need a sock, and my bike was going to be there in 3 weeks, so I'm good. So 3 weeks goes by, and, you know, I'm in school, and I get a page, and, you know, my bike has arrived. So, obviously, I break out the side door, and I bust to my crib, and I see my bike wrapped in plastic, and my whole neighborhood is in awe. Oh, my God. If this was 2014, they would say, OMG. This is the best CR80 that anyone has ever seen, ever. And this is my bike, and I own it, and I pay for it with my allowance, and I'm going to walk it across Fayette Street, and I'm going to put gas on it, and I'm going to ride and hold up traffic. All you guys in the audience, you know, all you guys who are like over 30, you guys were going to admire me as you went to your jobs at like Johns Hopkins and all that. You were going to be watching me, and I was going to put on a show, and you were going to be in awe, and everyone was going to win out of this situation. So I'm walking my bike across the street, and everyone's waving, and everyone's in all types of crazy love. And, you know, I go to the guy who's in the window, and, you know, he's behind a bulletproof glass and all that. And I whip $2 out, and I'm like, you know, he's looking at my bike, and he's like, ooh. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. You see me. Like, yeah, you know. So I give him, and this is back when gas was cheap, so I give him $2. And I'm like, yo, you keep the change and all that. Go buy yourself a pack of 25-cent Winter Fresh or something. So I let the guy keep the change, and I'm putting gas in the bike, and I'm twisting the cap, like click, 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 and, you know, I'm ready, and I want to hear the engine, and I want to smell it, because the smoke from it used to just ignite me to want to do even more, and I'm ready. So as I go to get on the bike, dude comes behind me and puts a gun to the back of my head. He's like, lay on the ground. So, you know, I didn't want to look at him, because sometimes if you look at a person, that would be the last person you ever see. So he was like, shorty, I like your bike, man. And he's laughing, and he's holding a gun. And he said, I want you to count to 100. And if you get up and you look and you turn around, I'm going to blow your fucking head off. So, you know, I'm looking on the ground, and I'm counting. And I want to cry, but I can't cry because I can't show that weakness. So I'm just holding those tears, and I'm holding everything back. And my fists are clenched really tight, and I'm biting my lip, and, you know, so hard that I'm surprised blood didn't spit out. And I'm just laying there at the gas station at the Exxon on Fayette Street, biting my lip, and I'm counting. And I'm like, 1, 2, 3. And by the time I get to 38, this dude's riding my bike down the street. Even worse is he's not even riding off on a wheelie. He's just riding it regular. Like, he's just... He's just regular. So he's riding my bike down the street, and, you know, I'm running back. I'm running back to my crib, and I'm telling my brother, and I'm telling my pops and my peoples and all that. And, you know, they had they were street guys. They had an MPV van that they had for, like, missions. So they was like, yo, you got your bike took? You know, but we're going to get it back. Let's do this. So we all hop in the van, and we riding around the city, and we going up Madison, and we going down Monument, and we weaving in and out Ashland Avenue, and we going to Chapel Hill Projects, and we going to Latrobe Projects, and we going to Lafayette Housing Projects, and we just going all over the city. And we don't see my bike. So my brother's like, yo, you know, I got some other business to take care of. I got to go. We're going to get your bike back. It's the one-on-one. It's custom. We'll get it back. So we're going to drop my brother off. We pick my uncle up. My uncle, Wack, Gee. You know, I should call him Gee just in case you guys are police officers. My uncle Gee hops in the car. My uncle Gee, G-E-E. He hops in the car. And he's talking to me, and he's like, yo, you let somebody take your bike? Like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, yo, he had a big gun. And, you know, I had, like, 47 anxiety attacks. I wasn't even expecting that. And, and you know, I didn't know what to do. So as we go to drop my brother back off, I see a group of dudes surrounding my bike on Curly and Jevons. So I'm like, that's my bike right there. How you know it's your bike? It's a red CR80. It's red with red piping. It's a 1-on-1. I custom designed it myself. I dreamed about that bike every day for 3 weeks before I got it. That's my bike. I know it's my bike. So you know, they pull over, and, you know, they like to drive this MPV van for these types of missions because they had, like, sock apartments where you could just, like, dump stuff. So if the police pulled you off, you could just dump stuff in the side doors and all that. And, you know, they wouldn't even know where to check it because they had all these little secret compartments and things like that. So, you know, he cut the lights off, and my brother Dev dips around the block. And, you know, he holds the dudes hostage, and one of them tried to run, and they end up beating the guy down. And, you know, my uncle and my dad, they all get out of the car, and they was like, yo, which one took the bike? So I'm like, yo, it's this light-skinned kid right here with the freckles, you know? It's just like, imagine like a male Negro version of Orphan Annie is what he looked like. So I'm like, this is the guy. So, you know, they beat one of the guys down. They beat him down pretty bad. But, you know, the other guy, he kind of got a pass because he was just like sitting on the steps. But the guy who took the bike, he was like, yo, hop in the van. You going with us. So Devin hops on my dirt bike and he rides it home. So now it was me. Uncle Gee and my pop, they were riding in his van, and this is around the time Timberland made these boots called 40 Belows because you can wear them in 40 below leather, and it came up to almost your knees, and they're like, we called them Super Tims in my neighborhood. So my uncle was wearing Super Tims, so he took his Super Tim off, and as the kid sat in the back seat, and he's sweating, and he doesn't know what's going to happen, my uncle's just start beating his face. Boom, 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 boom. Every time he beat the kid's face, a scream came out, right? And it was crazy because the kid, he just started to splatter, like, all over the car, but he was saying the weirdest things. It was like, you know, he was testifying. Again, he gave his life to God because he probably thought that this may have been his last moment. He wasn't religious when he had a gun to the back of my head, but he was religious when he was getting his ass beat for doing it. So my uncle's beating him down, and he passes me the boot. And, you know, this boot is all disgusting and bloody now, but I'm holding it with, you know, and I'm hitting him, and I'm like, ha, ha, ha. And it's not the same effect as my uncle because I'm a kid, but it's still like, why would you rob my, like, that bike was a virgin. I was supposed to be the first one with that. So they beat this kid down, and, you know, like I said, I'm from East Baltimore, so we were all the way out somewhere by Harford County. And if you're a kid, going from East Baltimore to Harford County is kind of like right now for me to drive to, like, Maine. It's very far away. It's an alien place. I don't know where it's at. This kid's all bloody, and he's all beat down, and he's, like, saying all this, like, and they pull him out of the van, and my uncle, and this is like the early 90s, so kids in Baltimore, we were wearing, like, neon-colored clothes, like neon Nike Hirachis and a neon hat and neon shorts. We were all walking all full of wrestling and shit. So my uncle said, yo, take his clothes off so no one can spot him in the bushes with his clothes and all that. So they stripped him naked. And he's out there naked, and he's holding his penis, and he's clenched over, and, you know, and he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. So my uncle looked at my father, and he was like, yo, kill him. So my father said, no, we're not going to kill him. He wished he was dead. We proved our point. We're going to leave it alone. So my Uncle Gee got really, really mad, and they got into an argument, but they didn't kill a kid. And, you know, I kind of felt like the kid wished he was dead because they beat him so bad. And we hopped in a van, and you know, my dad turned around and said, you want to go to Pizza Hut? So we're going back, and, you know, the only thing I could really think about on the way back is that, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be the best dirt bike rider in the city. And as you can see, you know, I'm kind of mangled and walk with a limp, but it didn't happen. But, you know, I rode for some good years, and that's my story.